Before getting into the message tonight, hope it's all right for me to give a shout out. I'm going to give a shout out to Connie for sitting with Adeline. And she did that this morning too, and has done that for the last couple of weeks while Sarah is home with Audrey. And so, in my opinion, that is worth several jewels in your crown for doing that. So, pour on the jewels. So, thank you so much, Connie, for doing that. That means a whole lot to me and to Sarah as well. So, we're continuing to work through the Ten Commandments. This evening, we're in the third commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I'll read that one more time. This is from the New International Version. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So we start off thinking about this question, what's in a name? In ancient times, and I'm probably not telling you anything you already didn't know, but names often carried a heavy load of meaning, and sometimes they do today as well. So we see this play out in what we read in the Bible. So throughout Scripture, we see God naming people or sometimes renaming people. We think of Abram, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And of course, we know the same is true with Sarai, changed to Sarah. And then Jacob, Genesis chapter 32 and verse 28. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And then moving over to the New Testament, we think about Peter, Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. And I tell you that you are Peter, this is Jesus speaking, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. We think of some other occasions as well where we're given the meaning of a name. So we think of Moses in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10. Child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. And then thinking of Jacob, Genesis 25:26. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to him. And finally, Jesus, Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, speaking of Mary, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so we read in Proverbs 22 in verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. The wisdom writer there says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. Even today, we talk about having a good name, building a good name for yourself. And we know when we use that kind of language, what we're talking about is a good reputation, that people will look on you with a level of favor. Names for the Israelites were so very important, as I've already mentioned. Oftentimes, they were based perhaps on an outward appearance, a personal characteristic, some incident connected to the birth, or a prayer or wish for that child. So names were loaded with meaning. When we think about the name of God, when the name of God is used in Scripture, it generally encompasses, this is very important, it encompasses the entirety of God's being, His authority, His power, His glory, His nature, His attributes, His characteristics, and so on. We're going to look at a few different verses that speak of the name of God. The Psalm 8:1. I'm going to move forward. I am in a dead spot, I think, right here. And it's, I don't know if you all can pick up on that, but I certainly can, just losing it there a little bit. So Psalm 8:1, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Israel deemed that the Lord's name was indeed majestic. It's a name that's above all names. It's what they declared. And then in the 75th Psalm, verse 1, we praise you, God. We praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. So Israel claimed that God's name, his name, was near. What do they mean by that? I think what they mean is that God's presence and his power was amongst the community of faith. That's what they meant by that. Now turning over to the 86th Psalm in verse 9. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. So not only will the Israelites glorify the name of the Lord, but the hope is that all nations would bring glory to the name of God. This was their hope. Now turning over to Zechariah, buried there in the prophets and right toward the end. It says in chapter 10, verse 12, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in his name they will live securely, declares the Lord. Israel was to live securely in the name of the Lord. In other words, they were to be surrounded by the Lord's hedge of protection. That's language we like to use. The Lord's hedge of protection. And it's his name that they will live securely in. So sort of to summarize these few verses that we've looked at, when name of God is used in Scripture, it's encompassing all of who God is. Again, his authority and his power, his glory, and his nature. So having that as a foundation, let's go back to Exodus 20 and verse 7 and think about this commandment, the third commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And so, naturally, we ask the question, why are God's people told not to misuse the name of the Lord? And with that, why will the Lord not hold anyone guiltless who uses his name? That's a strong warning that we see here in this commandment. First of all, to misuse the name of God is to purge God's name of meaning. To misuse the name of God is to purge God's name of meaning. We think of this verse, and perhaps it's already been floating around in your mind. We think about it in the King James Version. That's how I first memorized it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In vain means, very simply, empty, meaningless, or without substance. Thus, to take the name of the Lord in vain means to purge God's name of meaning. It is to use his name flippantly or inappropriately or irresponsibly. When the name of God is used, remember this, generally encompasses all of God's meaning. And so when all of God's being, and so when we're speaking the name of God, we are doing something that is very important, that it holds a lot of weight. One man put it this way, to make wrongful use of the name means to invoke through utterance the power and purpose of Yahweh in the service of some purpose that is extraneous to Yahweh's own purpose. So it's not consistent with who God is when we take the Lord's name in vain or misuse the name of the Lord. Therefore, obviously, we must always use God's name in a way that is true to His purposes and His power, true to the meaning and intention of God's name. Secondly, to misuse the name of God is to disrespect God. Think of it this way. When God gives us His name, He is inviting us into close relationship with Him. We don't get to name God. God discloses His name to us, which is another one of His merciful and gracious acts to us. He volunteers His name to us. His names such as Jehovah Jireh, and I Am, and El Shaddai, and Jehovah Rapha reveal to us more of His nature and His character. When we misuse His name, we are showing disrespect to Him by mocking a gift that He has given us, the privilege of knowing our God by name. So think about some of the ways in which we do misuse the name of the Lord. One pretty obvious one is a curse, and I'm not going to give you examples tonight of that. I think you know, but this is one of the most common ways that people use misuse the name of the Lord. And think about how disrespectful that is. In a, you know, stub your toe or something goes wrong, and speak the name of God in a way that is inconsistent with how one should speak of the name of God. So we use His name as a curse, and we hear this all around, and perhaps in your workplace, perhaps in your schools, you hear this, and it may grate on you some, but perhaps we're not all just guiltless when it comes to using God's name in this way. And then as an exclamation point, I told myself as I was preparing this, I wasn't going to go on a rant on the three letters OMG. But these letters are used oftentimes. It's sort of social media language or text language, OMG, and it, which means, oh my God. It's a flippant way to speak of God in my opinion. So I think we need to be careful with that. The name of God can be used as a weapon, or again, as a used in a way to achieve our purposes rather than God's purposes. And so we say things, God told me to tell you to do this or that. We use the name of God to support, what we desire, as opposed to reflecting out what God truly desires. And we think if we sort of do some divine name dropping that it will help our cause. This I believe in some. And then, similar to that, we use, the name of God as sort of an endorsement. And perhaps this is even happening in this, heightened political season. God wants me to be your next president, right? Who better to endorse your campaign than God Himself? God wants me to be your next president. So that's misusing the name of the Lord. How, do we use the name of the Lord in an appropriate manner? I think first of all, we use it with the backdrop that speaking God's name is about claiming God's authority in our lives. So we recall how the Lord's Prayer begins in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So I like thinking about this commandment in a positive nature. You should take the name of the Lord in earnest. Right? You should take the name of the Lord in earnest. Speak it in a respectful way, a way that's appropriate to God's character and nature. God's name is holy, and we ought to live and use His name in such a way that we honor His holiness. Right? We use it in a way that honors His holiness. To honor the name of God and to use it appropriately is to recognize His authority in our lives. When we speak of God in a way that is ensuring that His name is holy, it's also shaping the way that we live. If our God is holy, we are to be holy as well. We also speak the name with integrity. We do so in a way that's consistent with who God is. If the way we are speaking, his name contradicts who he is, then we shouldn't speak his name. And perhaps we should reflect on why we're saying what we're saying in the first place, if it's inconsistent with God's character. And then finally, we use his name in a way that invokes intimacy with God. God, again, God giving his name to us is rooted in his grace and mercy. So when using the name of the Lord, we ought to be cognizant of the gift of getting to know God intimately. And speaking of that, I've already mentioned some of the names of God that we see in Scripture. That is a fascinating study in itself, and I think we should have our ear turned toward those times when we see names like El Shaddai and Jehovah Rapha, because it helps us to know our God better. And again, that's a gift from him. So Exodus 20 and verse 7, "You shall not misuse the name the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." So you have to think, okay, what's the reason for this strong warning? Why such a strong warning? I'm going to give kind of two thoughts here about the strong warning. There's damage that can be done by misusing the name of the Lord. And first of all, on an individual basis, when one misuses the name of God, I think they are losing a sense of who God is. And when you lose that sense, or lose that respect, perhaps we might say, you lose a sense of who you are. I lose a sense of who I am. All of us live and breathe and have our being in God. And so we must have a proper understanding, or strive to have a proper understanding of who God is. And it also does damage to others as well. So, you know, we're all called to be God's ambassadors in the world. That's a big calling that we have, to be God's ambassadors in this world. As those ambassadors, or because of that we're ambassadors, there is an appropriate way to represent our God. And that includes how we speak of his name and his character. So this verse, this call, this command is shaping who we are with the hopes that as we seek to represent God, we do so in a way that represents him with integrity. And so together, for all of us, we seek to praise the name of the Lord. We seek to bring glory to the name of the Lord. We seek to live securely in the name of the Lord. It is a privilege and a gift from God that we have his name. And so we all are reminded, and we remember regularly, the commandment, don't misuse the name of the Lord. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church, we'd be so glad to pray with you or for you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, we'd love to witness you do that today, just like Braden did this morning. So if you have any needs, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue our time of worship.